Welcome to the Impressions Podcast. I'm your host, Russ. With me is Jens and Sean.
Hi. That's Jens talking. The fidgeting is Sean.
Yes. Good day.
So, fidget. That's what I'm like. No, I'm not going to call you fidget. Okay, we played through Psychonauts, and it was my virgin experience.
Yeah. You never played that one before.
Yes, and I had a very weird relationship with that game that I will go through in this podcast.
I think it showed its signs of age.
It was one of those games that, like, it was the first time, like, the whole time I was playing that game, I'm like, I wish I fucking played this game when it came out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have fucking enjoyed it.
In 2003 or whenever it was.
Yeah, well, was it 2000? I think it was.
It was a ways back.
Great. Well, you know what? I actually think I was in college the first of 9 times. So, there's that. But yeah, you and Sean both played through it before me, and I had never really touched it except, like, tried to play through it.
2005.
Okay, that actually makes
me feel not better. And was that on all systems?
Feel not better.
No, that was on the Xbox and PS2 originally.
Ah, gotcha.
So, like, we just played through a classic from the height of the PlayStation 2 era.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, like, I remember it on the X, like, for the Xbox, but, like, the PlayStation 2 is, like, where it first hit.
Yes. It was quick. It was real quick between the two of them, whichever one was first.
Yeah. I don't think it was I think it was just, I doubt it was, like, an exclusivity thing. It was probably more to do with the fact that, like, the PlayStation 2 came out first and the development was started on those dev kits before the
Xbox. Oh, yeah, Xbox, totally. So. Totally. I mean, I remember playing it on the Xbox because that's what I had back in the day. I played this one actually through on the PlayStation 4's PS2 emulator.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It was on sale for, like,
okay, I have a fucking question.
Yes.
Okay, and this is a discrepancy that I noticed between the two games. You know that fucking brain tank boss fight? Oh, and this will be my response to most boss fights in this game, is that fucking
thing.
Insert boss, whatever it's called, boss fight. That fucking brain tank thing. When you play on, yeah, like, the emulated, well, PS2 emulated version.
Yep.
Does that green laser slow down?
Yes.
It does not on the PC. It keeps spinning around like a motherfucking cherry on a cop car. It doesn't slow down at all. If anything, it speeds up. And I did notice that because I had to look this shit up. I'm like, okay, this is stupid. I die, I come back, and I'm, like, sitting in the beam. It's like, great respawn point. You might as well just put me over a bed of spikes. But, like, I noticed when somebody else was playing it that it slowed down. And I was like, well, that'd be helpful.
There was slowdown in the old games. And because I was essentially playing on a PlayStation 2 version, it managed to emulate it somehow.
But, like, from what I read on the, like, any walkthrough, I was really frustrated at this point.
That was a bad boss.
Was a bad boss. Of many bad bosses. Let's clarify my point on that.
So roll back. Like, Tim Schafer and his design team for this game were absolutely wonderful for the visuals, for the story, for things like that. But good God, their game design was atrocious.
Their adventuring was great. You can tell that they're not versed in platforming or action or any of that shit.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, did you play, Sean, you played on PC. Did you notice that beam slow down? Because to me, it was just like, this is stupid. I was just taking hits at a certain point.
I can't recall. I remember that one seeming harder than I had recalled.
Yeah, I think there's a difference.
Got to get used to the mic.
Yeah. Farewell. No worries. Sorry.
All good.
I'm calling you Fidget Master Flash for the rest of this podcast. I'll call you Fidgy McMahon. I can't think of a name. I'll just call you Sean.
All right.
Hey, his name is Sean, after all.
I thought the emotional baggage was just funny.
It was hilarious.
They all, like, look retarded. They look retarded.
The figments of the imagination was great. The sprites that they had for those.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, hunting the brains. Like, there was a lot about this
game
that was really
good.
I really
got freaked out because he kept kissing the brains. And I made no. Am I talking too loud?
It's okay. The brain itself can't feel pain. Okay. So the brains themselves wouldn't have been creeped out by that. Just you.
I was very. I have like several notes about how creeped out I was. I was like, can you stop kissing the brains?
On the emotional baggage, they really needed to let you skip those. Because it got to a point where I no longer wanted to get them because it slowed down. Like, because every time you reunite the tag with the baggage,
you could skip them.
Really? You don't need to do them. Did you actually find all the emotional baggage?
No. I found a great deal of them.
Yeah,
no,
so
no, he's talking about.
But I mean, like when you reunite them, and there's a little scene with the music.
You could not skip that.
You can skip that. You hit the B button or the circle button.
Well, I didn't skip it.
I was gonna say we did not find means to do that on PC.
I got really tired of them, and I just started mashing buttons. Yeah.
I did too, and I could not find the button that got me through it.
So PC is the worst place to play this game, apparently.
Yeah, but 60 frames a second.
Yeah, 60 frames, I know. Although,
which sucked for that one boss.
Well, yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Think about it. Like, it was like where you were back in the day. Like, they had that slowdown because the game was ambitious.
I mean, in some cases, I think even back to the SNES era, I think gameplay slowdown in certain areas was a gameplay mechanic.
A lot of the times. I mean, look at Mega Man.
Street Fighter.
Yeah.
All Capcom games.
All Capcom games.
But I've noticed, yeah.
Even Zelda.
Sean, you were going to say something.
I don't know. I was going to say the everything speeding up made the game has some very charming load screens. And you don't really experience that since we're now playing on much faster things.
Yeah,
like anytime you enter one of the mind levels, there's this bit where, you know, Raz is falling into this vortex.
Yep.
And I remember the first time around on the PS2, you had some time there and you can actually control Raz during that.
Oh, really?
So you'd sit there staring at your screen, kind of circling him around the inside of this vortex.
I did not know that.
And now that is gone because that screen lasts a second.
The game, I mean, even on the PlayStation, like it lasts for maybe 2-3 seconds.
Yeah. I played mine off a thumb drive, so I actually... No, I didn't. Played it off a series of floppies using them as a page file.
But while we're talking about load screens and whatnot, we are load screens.
Yes.
And I think that this game actually had one of the best start menus I've ever seen.
Yeah, I did enjoy like when running you walk around on the brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I walked around a little too much and I got disoriented and like I do a lot of work in like CAD and 3D.
Yeah.
And there's that point when it's like you can't make the camera do what you want. And it was like, it actually took me a substantial amount of time to get back to the doors because, well, I could get back to them, but they were like, that's something I remember. It doesn't matter. It affected nothing to me.
I remember. It's a good anecdote.
Yeah, I don't know. Going back to the beginning though, I did find a lot of the tutorializing to be very daunting.
Some of it, yeah, without a doubt. Like, especially in Oleander's first mission.
Oh man, it was just like, oh, okay, I get it. You press this button to jump. Like, I'm kind of glad we've gotten away from that and where they ease you into a game without tutorializing you like you have a learning disability.
Yeah, they make the tutorial as part of the game.
I am extremely offensive. I'm starting to understand.
They've sort of done that here, but the tutorials took almost the first third of the game.
It was.
Yeah, it was. I was like, oh, God.
Like
yeah.
All the way through Oleander, through Sasha, through the hippie trip.
And then as you level up, yep. It's like, here's a thing because you got every badge. You get a little tutorial. And it was like, yeah, I referred to, what was the one character's nine?
Nine.
Sasha, yeah, nine. I referred to him as malnourished David Duchovny.
All right.
Yeah, that's fair.
That was the other one. I had another name for somebody else. Oh, yeah. Terminal Carrot Top was the one bully.
Oh, boy. I can't even remember his name right now. But
Bobby Zilch.
Bobby Zilch.
I just wrote God the Grill on Terminal Carrot Top is pretty intense.
His teeth are every way.
I know.
Like that was the art style for this. Like that's what I really appreciated for this game.
I called it a cross between like Tim Burton and Dr. Seuss.
Very much so.
Yeah, it kind of felt like something between claymation and puppets.
Yes, I did like the art style. Completely creeped out my girlfriend though. She's like, I can't even look at this. She's like, what are you playing? I'm like, it's really charming and neat. And she's like, no. And then she just left. I'm like, all right, cool. It's like, it was like I was playing Vomit to her. It's just like, what are you playing? Oh, this interactive Vomit. It's real fun. If you put on the VR headset, you can actually sort of taste it.
Oh, yeah, there's a VR game of this now, too. The Rhombus of Ruin.
I did get it. I have not played it. I have to do some computer work and like set my VR stuff up again. Mostly because I got to put in a USB 3 card, which has been sitting on my desk for like months.
I gotta say.
Oh, I just wrote, they put a kid in a hot box. What the fuck?
That was summer camp, man.
Yeah, I know, but
I remember Jesus. The inside of my hot box real good.
I never went to summer camp, and thank fuck for that.
No, I kid. That's just horrible, horrible froshing that shouldn't exist in real world.
It doesn't. Not in Canada.
Not in Canada.
They put kids in hot boxes?
Well, not in hot boxes, per se.
That was a hot box.
Yeah, that was a hot box.
It was camp, though. You were away from your parents. Like, they gave you to an organization that was allowed to punish you to some extent.
With kids that are evil?
Yeah.
Like Bobby
Zilch?
Kids
are allowed to punish you. Jeez. I just wrote Sasha's first loss and then damn and an unhappy face. Must have been pretty harsh. I can't remember that one.
I think most of the kind of really memory stuff you break out of the vaults is usually kind of sad.
Yeah, no.
Because most of the levels, I mean, most of the mind levels involve sort of fixing people.
Yeah.
Like the milkman?
Except you don't quite fix him. He's not fixed until the end. He's still crazy by the time you leave.
Like how he's like standing at the gate with a Molotov cocktail
for a good while.
Yeah, like, he's just shaking. It's like, dude, you've been there for hours. He's like, yeah, he's totally broken.
Yeah, it's interesting because everyone else, you fix their major problem and they move on with their lives.
Yeah.
Except for him, he doesn't reach his conclusion until he's able to burn down the asylum.
Well, yeah,
he needs arson to cure him.
At the denouement, like that's when he can finally say.
Did this bother the Dogen lobotomy scene that kind of bothered me?
TV.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know it's a cartoon game, but like they removed his brain with some spiky claws. And then
No, they didn't. He sneezed. Everyone sneezed out their brain.
Did they?
Yeah, yes. It was a sneezing powder.
Like he has a terrifying claw, and you think that's how he's going to extract brains.
Right.
But it was a sneezing powder for everyone.
I think I wrote this before the end of the scene.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. I was preemptively disturbed by
Makes
it.
Sense.
And
Makes
then
sense.
My brain has just overwritten it that they just drilled it out of his head. And then, has anybody watched Farscape? I have not, but I did see a Farscape, like, gif of, like, when they pull, like, the main character's eyes out of his head. And then I thought of Sean, and I'm like, Sean said he saw Farscape. How did he not chuck his guts while watching this?
I've never watched it at all.
Okay.
I can't remember how we got onto the topic. We were talking about puppets.
I think the whole term of what Labyrinth came up.
Yeah,
maybe.
But I can't remember. We were talking about some other puppets, and I was putting puppets on a scale from like puppets I would be okay watching and puppets that are creepy.
Ah, yes.
So Dark Crystal is right at the creepy scale.
Well, yeah, that
Farscape, not too bad.
Who else was that? Labyrinth was the David Bowie one. Dark Crystal was just the Jim Henson.
Well, they were both Jim Henson things, Dark Crystal was all puppets, kind of creepy.
Can I say the movie Legend creeps me the fuck out?
That's probably fair.
It's so creepy. I think I was eating some really gross food too when I watched it as a kid, and then I just associated it with being sweaty and grease, and it just like didn't sit well with me. And I think it was just the fact that Tom Cruise was running around with no pants on. Like, he looked like a guy who like was like, all right, I'm gonna go fuck up some demons now, and it's like, oh shit, I didn't wear pants, except he's like totally okay with it. Why am I talking about this?
I know, it's a good diversion. I feel like this is a real podcast now. We've gone vastly off topic.
We've gone
Excellent.
Vastly off topic.
Just like so many of our favorites.
Yes. But I mean, like, if you're not going off topic, you're like, this isn't a goddamn meeting where it's like, all right,
we got a lot of meetings here.
That go off topic.
Yeah, but I don't know what half my notes say.
That's okay.
I don't really know.
Well, it's kind of funny because my notes right here, I'm taking a look, and it's, you mentioned that's a cross between a Tim Burton movie and something else. I kind of got a very Nightmare Before Christmas
vibe. Oh, yeah, no, totally. That's what I meant by Tim Burton, all right? Or like James and the Giant Peach.
The fun thing is it wasn't a Tim Burton movie, but that's another story for another podcast.
Yeah, but you really hate The Nightmare Before Christmas.
No, I don't. I like it.
I thought you hated it. No. You used to hate it. I know you did, because you said, I think you hated the people who wore the shirts.
What I hated was the hype that was surrounded it.
I guess.
What was that guy's name? Henry Selick or something like that?
Something, something.
Because a guy who did Coraline later.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Oh, it also reminds me of that movie Nine. With the little dolls. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, here's my description of brain fight. Boss fight, what I'm considering bullshit boss fight number one.
The brain
thing? The Dogen brain fight is fucking dumb. The most infuriating bullshit boss fight ever. Until boss fight two. Actually, I think that one was one of the worst, but it was not the worst part of that game. We will have to wait for that heinous pile of steaming garbage.
Yeah, I got into this boss fight and everything was fairly mediocre up until that point. And then they just crank the difficulty.
I think my problem with a lot of it is, like,
it wasn't fair.
It's just a lot of, like, trial and error dying until you figure it out. And it's like, that's not fun puzzle solving, right? No. Because, like, it's like, oh, hurry up and figure out this bullshit. And, like, and you can't. Like, it just, some of it is like, I don't have the time. Ain't nobody got time for that. I don't have the time or patience to do that shit anymore. And I'm too old and crotchety.
For that brain tank, they didn't give any real indication on what to do with it either.
Yeah, like, well, I know what they wanted you to do in theory was they wanted you to use the little ball thing, the levitation, jump over it, glide, and then slam down on it. But even if you do that, there isn't enough, like, dizzy frames on the boss for you to recover without getting the shit kicked out of you.
Yep.
Because the area of effect on that thing is the entire level.
Pretty much.
I also didn't know that you could break down those pillars to regain health and stuff because I was just that frustrated. But I just ultimately just went up to it and smacked the shit out of it.
Yep. So, in the end, that's what I did too.
I mean, I was just like done. That was way more.
However, that brings us into levels, and some of the levels were absolutely amazing. The Goggalore level?
Yeah, the Lungfish level.
Okay,
I was surprised.
I thought it was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought, like, I get it that you're big, but
you're the monster.
I know, I got that, but I was totally distracted by how shitty the controls got in that level.
It's supposed to be, though. It's like, that's what makes you feel like a giant lumbering monster that you can't move at the same speed, that he has to stomp around everything.
Yeah, I know, but it was the fucking helicopters.
But it's definitely a game where, theme kind of took a greater place over gameplay.
Yeah, no.
So,
I think I was fed up at that point.
That is because, I mean, the getting to that level was frustrating with the underwater bit first.
Yeah, that didn't bother me as much.
It was fine.
It took me a couple tries, but
It was fine.
It
just didn't, I don't know, it didn't feel great to me. At least
I liked that boss fight though. That boss fight felt fair. It felt a little bit tricky, but it didn't feel so tricky that you're like, okay, well.
So it is tricky, like you say, but once you figure out the tricks, it's just like, oh, okay. So for this one, there's actually a wind up.
Yeah.
To say he's going to do his super mega punch now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like.
I like that. Like, yeah, it was you could telegraph it, and like you even had time to think about like what should I do, and like you could actually kind of figure out what you were supposed to do. I don't know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like it wasn't the end of the world if you messed up in that one either. Like it gave way for you to get away from things.
Yeah, totally.
Like that boss totally felt better.
And I didn't hate that level. I thought it was really cool. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I think I got real soured on it was You know what bothered me about it though? I like the stomping around and all that shit. the building climbing sucked. You should have been able to just like climb to the top of one of those tall buildings, but instead it's like this little like inchworm shit, and all the climbing in that game was fucking terrible.
Again, just, that to reiterate, the platforming in the rest of the game was terrible.
Sean loved
too.
The climbing in that game.
No. I did like the humor in that. That level in particular, it reminded me, it's like a lot of the stuff I found funny even years and years ago still holds up.
It had some really good movie monster vibes.
Yeah, like I loved in the lungfish level, them how they make you feel guilty about destroying the buildings.
Yeah, and I'm like, am I not supposed to be destroying them? And then I'm like, well, I can't.
Like, that tiny voice. I'm like, oh no, not the puppy orphanage. The orphanage for puppies.
I liked the militia or like the revolutionists.
Oh, the freedom fighters.
The freedom fighters. Yeah, like I liked them. They were funny. It just feels like everything. I'm like, I'm almost enjoying this fucking game, and then like there's just some janky shit that totally distracts me from it. You know what I like? I don't know. That was it for me. But like, I guess like, I wasn't prepared for the jank the way you guys were. You know what I mean? And like, when you guys played it originally, I know it was probably newer, and you're like, I'm gonna play this game. And then this one was kind of like, I want to play this game because I feel like I should. Like, this is an important game. But like, I just lost patience with it quite quickly. Whereas like, I also procrastinated my ass off on it. So like I had to finish it fast, and like there's only so much of this shit that you can put up with before you lose your goddamn mind, in my opinion. To be fair. Damn it, Sean.
Silence.
Get used to it.
Status quo. Where were the suicide bomber kids? I noted suicide bomber kids.
Okay.
Wait? Suicide bomber kids?
Maybe I...
You're thinking of the cheerleaders. When you're wandering around the camp, because there's... I can't remember the cheerleaders' names. There are two, and they're kind of cheerleaders. Like, they're very peppy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's one point where you can have a conversation with them. They're at the top of a platform. And then when you leave down, the camera stays on them, and they're sneakily mixing up something in a vial.
No, that was definitely not it. Okay. I don't remember that. I didn't see that.
I don't recollect any suicide bomber kids.
Am I in Psychonauts right now? Have I lost my mind?
I put a tiny door on your head.
Put a tiny door on our head. I mean, though, after playing this, I'm very interested in Psychonauts 2 because now the technology is... on the up and up, they could do some crazy shit. And, like, depending on where they are, like, have they played Mario Odyssey? They could go buck wild totally. With their art design.
Yeah.
Like, they could go crazy.
Like, it's a whole new world from when this game first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
The game design and the looks.
Little Mermaid, whole new world. Wait, was that Little Mermaid?
Or
was
careful, that's Disney.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get sued. Little Mermaid. No, it was Marmaid.
No, now the Marmite company's
coming. No, I think I was thinking of Adladdin.
Adladdin.
You don't own the name.
I know.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of public domain.
Yeah.
That one is. They'll try. The Milkman conspiracy level, that one was a trip. Wandering the streets was... hilarious.
Yeah. I mean that one was where I was like, okay, this is a Tim Schafer adventure game. Like, this was a better, like, out of all the genres, this thing could be like a platformer, action, or an adventure game. The best things done, which should be apparent, are the adventuring. Like, you gotta find this to do this and stuff like that. And like, that was like really Tim Schafer-esque to the core. And I enjoyed that part.
I have a stop sign and I am a road worker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, kind of the old adventure game vibe of look through your bag of things and rub each of them against the problem until one of them works.
Oh, it absolutely did. And like, that's actually kind of where I got lost in some cases, because I'm just like, what am I supposed to do? Oh, right. I'm supposed to try things.
Yeah.
Well, not just be handheld through it.
Yeah. I had a lot of trouble getting, like, I knew I had to go invisible and knock on the door to get past the little girl. But, like, again, I ran into jank where I just couldn't get past her to get into the house.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know. It was just janky, and I was just, like, I wasn't even frustrated by it. I was like, oh, this is just kind of weird. Like, there's a weird hitbox here. I don't...
Well, the thing that particular little invisibility thing, what gave me troubles there was I had to time the cutscene with the power, because the power would continue running out during the cutscene.
Yeah, that's where I did too. But like even then, like there was like I had it timed, and I still couldn't get past her, and it was nothing. But yeah, it was just kind of like, this is really annoying.
So moving on through the level, like as you're finding all the stuff and doing stuff, you get to a certain boss fight.
That mid boss fight, holy shit. Last phase. The first two are easy.
Yeah.
And then the last phase is like, what the fuck?
Like I look at the mid boss here and I'm just like, this is out of the blue. Like, why is this part of this game?
Yeah, it felt like something that got rushed or something. Like maybe there was something to connect this to the whole conspiracy thing, but really it was just sort of a monster. Like it had no relation to any other part of the level.
It was very like it didn't have any of those things that the sensors that they explained earlier.
Yeah.
It didn't have anything to do with the level. The theme was different. It's like, we finished this, let's jam it in here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what it is.
Maybe he has syphilis and that was like a brain parasite.
Could be. Who knows?
maybe that's for psychosis. The sequel.
Save that.
Maybe that's where his psychosis comes from. He just has he's had syphilis for like 40 years and it's finally tunneled into his brain.
And his need to burn things?
I guess.
The milkman burns things. Beware the milkman.
If you have brain damage, all sorts of shit can happen.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say about the boss, the third stage sucked because like, the bombs weren't proximity bombs in the second phase, so it was really easy. And then the third one, it's like, it took me the longest time to figure out, back the fuck off and they won't explode, and then you can throw them at them.
Yeah.
And that took me an embarrassingly long time to figure out, to the point where I was weeping. No, I wasn't weeping.
That's okay. You can admit it.
Okay, fine. I was weeping.
We're all friends but here.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah, it was another thing where it was like, why couldn't I figure this out quicker?
Like that was just one of those examples of terrible game design.
Yeah, it was an unneeded thing, because it was just kind of like, I was just like, okay, getting through this level, getting moving, and then all of a sudden it's like, what the fuck?
You've been grabbed by a purple thing.
Why did I just get pulled down the rabbit hole again?
And great, this is now jarring and it's taken me out of the immersion of the level.
Yeah, I think I was almost out of lives at that point too,
which I found out don't really matter.
Yeah,
no they don't, but they do. It's like one of those things, you get set back a bit further, don't you? Or do you even?
Not really.
I think you got to continue. Like you got thrown out and then you'd have to pitch the door at his head again, but from there you'd start more or less at your last sort of checkpoint, right? Area.
Yeah. Okay. Like I'll grant the game this, it had really good checkpointing.
Oh yeah.
Totally. Oh yeah. Because if it didn't,
well, there was some places where it's like, just like, you can save the meat
circus stuff for
we're gonna leave that to the end when my psychosis started kicking in,
and that's when Sean had to throw a door on Jens's head.
I think this goes back to like just consistently across the whole game, is the platforming shit was just awful because you're expecting an outcome. Like yeah. That's how good platforming works. You expect to jump here, and if you can grab an edge, it should grab an edge. But not in this fucking game.
The edge detection was
RNG. It was like, all right, 50% chance to grab the edge. But they should at least had a thing in there that was like, if you buy this, you'll have a 75% chance of grabbing the edge. And if you buy this, the game just finishes it for you because we really screwed it up. But like some of the there's some serious platforming in that Catan level, the
Waterloo World.
Waterloo World. That one.
I'm probably gonna remember all the level names.
That's good because I don't remember them at all.
I started writing them down at one point and that was about halfway through the game. I'm like, I'm perfect.
I don't write down names. I'm watching movies half the time and I don't know the names of the characters.
That's all right. There were a lot of campers. Like, but no, a lot like, of them had personality, but there were a great many of them.
I'll watch, like, a here's my problem whenever I watch movies. They'll reference somebody who isn't on camera, and I'm like, who the fuck is that? It's like, that's the main character. Oh.
That's Johnny.
Yeah, really? but, yeah, that's a problem I have. So, Waterloo World, names of the play.
Yeah. Like, there was... Okay, so I started writing them down at Gloria's Theater. And then that was the that level was actually kind of neat, the Phantom of the Opera style.
I ended up doing that one as the last level of the Asylum, so I was pretty much fucking done with levels in general. So I it was pretty cool. It was like a very like, you know, adventure game style level, right? But I was just like really wanted to get through it.
Like, oh yeah, totally. At that point, like I get that. Because I had that same feeling with the bowl level.
See, that was my Black favorite. Velvetopia. Like, knowing what things were, I saved Black Velvetopia for last.
So did I, because I remembered enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was, is like, at that point, I'm just like, I want to get through this game now. I know what's coming up, and that bull is going to be horrible with his hitboxes.
See,
which he was.
I, as far as that... That bull though is just it's just a entire hit, like it just covers the whole thing. It's like it's like one of the fireball twirly things in Mario, right?
But
like
sometimes you could jump over it.
I never got over it and I never bothered trying. I just figured there's always a fairly easy way around it.
Yeah.
You just timed your shit. But that was the stage that I liked the most. Like, I enjoyed the shit out of that stage. I like fighting all the easy-to-beat luchadors.
Oh, the mini-bosses?
Yeah. I liked throwing the confusion grenades at the one guy. And
yeah.
I liked the final battle. It wasn't... It was challenging, and it seemed somewhat fair compared to other ones, and you could figure it out. I like that.
It was definitely a very well-designed level, except for the bull running through the alley, because there were times that I thought I had time, and oh, there he is.
Yeah, but they stage-gated that level, like, really well.
Oh, yeah. You could,
right?
You
like,
could
at
flow
least
through
you,
it.
Yeah, like, at least you were able to, like, get to the next point, fight the luchador,
B2C's,
and then, yeah.
And so on.
So, like, it wasn't totally... And I found even the bull, you just kind of got knocked into whatever alley you were at, part of the alley that you were safe in last.
See, sometimes I got pushed all the way back.
Okay, see, that did not happen to me once.
Yeah, so that you had a better time. Like, I was like, great, I'm at the start of the level again.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I thought it was fun.
Thankfully, we had those little weird bubble-nosed guys who would teleport you around.
Yeah, I don't think I used them once. Maybe once.
Did once for especially in Elodio's level.
Yeah, I think especially in that level, once you discover there's a whole separate, like there's the sewer system.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, okay, I've actually got to do some backtracking in this one.
Yeah. But I, all in all, I enjoyed that level. I wanted to play it.
It's fine. I mean, it's late in the game, so you've got all your abilities. So they get to design it, so you get to use everything.
Yeah.
And everything's a little more varied and generally more fun.
But like, isn't that funny that you get your all your abilities and you're like at the... But I guess the point is like, I never really went back to look for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't revisit. I didn't even go back. I didn't even see what that room looked like with the doors open. Like, I didn't... I just never went back after a while. I just kind of went through the game.
I went back to start saving all the brains.
I only missed two.
Okay, that's not bad.
And I was like, okay.
For a first
place. Well, I went back to, like, check the brains because, like, you got stuff
more
for that. Yeah, like, no, like, I totally did that.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't go back to Sash or Nine's area where you go into your own mind and then you can go to the doors and you can go back to any level and then get, like, shit that you missed now that you have all your tools and junk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You went to the collective unconscious...
Yeah, whatever.
Is what that is.
That thing I'm going to do.
If you lose all your lives in certain area, certain levels, it'll boot you back to that, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I never went there again.
That's fine. I mean, it's not like a big piece of the game. It's just a... That was my Tim Burton moment for this game. It was like, I can go to Halloween Town or Christmas Town or Sasha's Shit. Mind.
That's right. I never made that connection. Yeah. I just associated it with like Super Mario 64. That yeah. It was kind of like jumping through pictures, well, except then you go to whatever the El Lucha, El Pollo Loco.
Schlocky Velvet Art World.
Schlocky Velvet. Okay.
Black Velvetopia. Yeah.
Although I thought, it was great. It was like a Edgar had badass tattoos.
Yeah, he was cool.
It was cool because that level was just, it was all about schlocky art. You had like your dogs who were clearly dogs. At some point, they would discuss a poker game.
Yeah.
It's all on black velvet.
Yeah.
Did anyone else have terrible black velvet paintings at any point in their lives?
No.
No.
Oh,
no.
I went through a Yes, I went through a portion in university where we just started accumulating them.
Okay.
Not through buying them, but we had some friends and I had
rented. Just like the black velvet heist of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So hundreds of thousands of cents worth of black velvet paintings were stolen from a pawn shop on Broadway in Saskatoon. Nobody knows who did it.
Until now.
We lived in a house for a time where someone had punched a hole in the wall, and to cover it up, they had placed a black velvet painting of the desert. And when we moved, took that painting along, and that at the next house, I can't remember how we came across the second one, but then it becomes one of those things where you, if anyone finds out you collect something, that's all you get for birthdays for the rest of your life. So if someone found a bad schlocky black velvet painting, that just, that became ours now.
Well, I know what you're getting for Christmas now.
Was that the place where I came over and you went to reset the Xbox and you slipped in some goo? And you were like, well, I don't know what that is. And then you just went about your business.
This was after when I lived with a responsible person.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Our non-responsible part was collecting a lot of black velvet paintings, which we thought were funny. A lot of them were bad. There was one that had some ducks on it. And somehow it looked like one of the ducks was painted. It looked like it was flying backwards.
Okay.
I don't know how you do that.
I was just going to say, were they playing Quackerack? No?
Not bad.
Or Crackinol?
That's better. Crackinol.
Quackinol is much better.
Yeah. And now we've lost our only viewer. Listener.
Well, he's here.
Yeah. It's just like Sean's like, I'm out.
Just leaves. No, I can appreciate some wordplay.
Okay. So after that, yeah, my order for the end part was obviously the milkman guy, and then I went. Just walked past the crazy lady, because I didn't know really. I was like, "What? What are you supposed to do?" Like, I used the friggin' door on the milkman guy, and then it never clued me in that I used the door on the other characters.
You might not have picked it up until, because it's not until you get into the asylum that you realize your next goal is to collect items from each of these guys.
Yeah.
Like, you need the straight jacket
from
Fred, you need the painting from Edgar.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know, because I finally figured it out when I went and talked to the one guy who's blind, and then he's like, well, because I got the straight jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, man, you don't look like... And I'm like, what? Oh, and then I was jumping around and I found Edgar.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I know what to do. And then I slapped the door on his head. Well, I knew what to do with the door then. I just didn't really know who else. And I was really worried that that guy in front of the gate, that I was also going to have to do a level for him.
Thankfully,
no. And I was like, oh, God. You get through, and then you get to the best part of the game, climbing the fucking tower. As far as I'm concerned, after that point, the fun part of the game is over, and the rest is just dental work.
It was a brutal ending.
And prostate exams.
Like, climbing up that tower.
At the same time.
And being a collectionist as I'm going, I'm trying to get all the things, and then these fucking little purple rats come and blow you up all the way back down to the bottom, and you climb back up. And
there was points when I'm like, oh man, I got further. And then I'm like, it's here. Half an hour ago, I was getting irate, to say the least. And it was just, some of it was like just poor platforming anything design. It was just like, oh.
Combat got easier towards the end as you had stuff.
Yeah.
Like, found the rats weren't as bad because you, by that point, your mind blast would chain off things.
Yeah, you know how to
wish I'd use the mind blast. Nope, just smacking them around like, oh, look, these rats explode and you hit them. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to hit them with my hand. Okay.
It was actually tough to remember that you had this. All these powers that you'd have to try to use all the time.
I know. It was almost like overkill.
There was
like,
a little much sometimes.
Some of it, like the clairvoyance I used for that one thing and then I never used it again.
The clairvoyance has a lot of the, there's some character development and humor in that because you can use it on just about anybody.
Yeah. That's true.
The idea of you can see yourself as other characters see you gets pretty interesting.
Damn it, now I gotta reinstall the stupid game.
When you example,
I only use that in the Milkman level. I never thought to use it anywhere else.
I use it in a few other places, like at the end, and I'm like, okay, well if I use it on him, yep, I'm a rabbit. Like that's
I'm a bad gamer.
So like
I used
for example,
it, but I was frustrated and just not interested.
Because if you
look now, I really want to go back.
Like Boyd sees you as a they always feature Raz in some way.
Right.
So like Boyd sees you as a bottle of milk with Raz's head on it.
Okay.
Or at the end, Shigor sees you as a messiah. So it's got like Raz dressed up in a white robe with a kind of red sash.
Oh, her turtle was amazing.
Mr. Pokelope.
Oh,
man. We could spend a lot of time on Mr. Pokelope.
He's a soulful ass turtle.
I have a story about Mr. Pokelope and young
cake.
Ollivander or whatever the fuck. Wait.
I just had one
Pokelope.
Pokelope's
stupid...
the turtle.
The turtle?
Yeah.
The
Pokelope.
Turtle.
Oh, I was thinking about Mr. Buns.
The rabbit?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. The rabbit that I hate that's on the meat platforms?
Yeah, we're going to get to that, but I forgot to mention one of my most favorite things in that game. One of the only characters' names that I remember is Linda.
That was good.
That was the best.
Linda I'm Linda.
I thought you would have appreciated it as well, finding out that Nils' last name was Lutefisk.
Yes, and I noticed that in the credits.
Yeah.
It's Nels Lutefisk, and I'm just like... Oh, that brings me back to several years of eating that shit for Christmas. If you don't know what lutefisk is, it's codfish stuck into a nylon and then soaked in lye and then hung in the rafters of a barn for several, well, not decades, but I want to say decades. The only people, it's basically fermented codfish. The only group that I know of that have topped them in that delicacy are the people in Greenland with the same process only with shark, and it smells worse than old boots. It's like some isotoners that were used in 100 NFL games.
That's poisonous shark.
Yes, that's right.
Greenland shark.
Yeah.
So it's like the world's worst tofurkey.
It's
or
like
even worse than that.
Here's the thing. My dad loves it. My dad's like Norwegian to the core. My mom and I hate it. I know a couple other people who really like it, but I've noticed that the people who like it, they eat it, and then what they do is they take a ladle of butter, and then they put the fish in it, and then they're like, oh, it tastes so good. I'm like, you just ate a cup of butter. You didn't even taste the fish.
So literally, you might as well just eat the butter straight.
Yeah, just drink some butter.
It
I mean,
fine.
Because it's soaked in lye and it's translucent, it's yellow like
this.
It's like slightly hydrated but not fully hydrated pea color. And if you pile it high enough, it jiggles like jello.
Nothing about this sounds appetizing.
I know Sean wants to try it.
I actually do, but
but you
I enjoyed
like your
how
weird foods.
They needed to. Then it's like, well, he's already Nils. How can we make his name more Norwegian?
I did appreciate that though, because whether I like the fish or the food or not, it has been part of my life.
That's gonna
far
be
more than I yeah.
One of those references that's really obscure, and I'm glad you brought it up.
Oh yeah, I totally saw it, and I was like, shit, I missed the first name, and then it was Nils, and I'm like, oh great, so one of my many nicknames in high school, awesome.
But do check out, even just Google like Psychonauts clairvoyance.
Yeah.
You can find yourself like a nice itemized list of all of them.
Okay. That's
some of them
I'll
are sort
doing.
Of character development. Like if you try to see yourself through Sasha's eyes, you're a tiny Sasha.
That's kind of awesome.
That's great.
And then some of them are just funny. There are those windows that open and close in Black Velvetopia.
Okay.
And there's these women. Yeah, this lady inside. And if you try to use clairvoyance on them, he appears as like a flashing Tom. So it's like a little Baz with a creepy mustache and a trench coat. Anyways.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go
to
YouTube.
They put a lot of flavor into a lot of little parts of that game.
Because that'll save me from having to re-download the game, because that game got uninstalled the second I finished.
Because that brings us on to our final boss rush / level rush.
Everybody's favorite, the meat circus.
I don't even have notes. Well, no, I do. This is where...
They're just pages upon pages torn out of the notebook.
It's like...
The Psycho Blaster
Death Tank
was all
right. You can see in my writing how I went crazier and crazier. Like, I just wrote weird shit in here. It's like... Why did I don't remember the Mr. Pokelope scene.
It's Shigure's turtle. So it's your... When you're... You've climbed to the top of the asylum.
Right.
So you found the lab assistant, Shigure, but she's being manipulated by Dr. Dentist fella because he's got her turtle.
Right.
So the turtle is held hostage, the turtle of Mr. Pokelope.
Yes, I knew that. I remember that, but
although
I don't know...
Although in a game about brands, Mr. Pokelope would also have been a good name.
Right.
Oh, that would have been a great pun.
I just wrote, and I don't remember any of this, but like all the bullshit... was worth it just for the Mr. Pokelope scene. Yes. And I don't remember it.
Because he's such a soulful turtle. He has that calming, deep voice.
Oh, that's right. He talks. I don't remember.
Yeah, but only
this game
just,
caused me
you have
to lose memories.
Yeah. You think Shigure's crazy and then he speaks.
Oh, man.
That's good. I remember the first time I played through this game and I finished it. I'm just like, wow. I wonder if Mr. Pokelope merchandise exists somewhere.
I have no doubts.
I would wear that t-shirt.
I'd buy the plushie.
Look on Etsy.
I'm sure that exists.
There's some weird
that's
shit
gotta
on
be.
Etsy.
But that, like, you put his brain into the Psycho Blaster Death Tank, which is pretty great, and he blows up Dr. Lobotomy, or whatever his name is.
Right.
And then you get to fight the Psycho Blaster Death Tank with Ollivander in it.
Yes, now, okay, I remember that. I didn't find that to
Wait,
be
he's
too
not a maker of
bad.
Fine wands. It's
Oleander.
Oleander, yeah.
So again, I thought that was great. Short version, Ole. So there's two Scandinavians covered.
That's true. There's a lot of Scandahoobians in this.
There is.
But I didn't mind the tank thing. It was annoying, but it didn't...
It was a whatever.
Was like, yeah.
It was a mid-boss. At best. And then you sneeze out Raz's brain.
Yes.
And then you have to telekinesis yourself into the tank to fight his brain. So your brain versus brain now.
Yes.
In a tank.
Yes.
A brain tank.
Yes. I know. It's just
don't think too hard.
Puns. But I think like all of that just like was totally eclipsed by the end, the meat circus.
Tent City was one of the worst things that I've ever had to do in a video game.
Like...
hated it.
I mean, that Mr. Buns part.
Yeah, that's
I just,
Ten City.
I couldn't even. Like, it was, like, so goddamn frustrating. Like, the platforming sucked. Everything. It was, like, all the... they were like, how can we take every shitty thing we've done in this game and just make it shittier?
They made a... one of those Follow Me quests... where you can't follow him nice.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And he gets hit by a million things.
Yeah, and like you just got to get to him, like you said. It's like a time platforming section.
Yeah, so it's the first time the time has evolved.
Fortunately, his fucking health like resets at every stage.
Mm-hmm.
But like, man, I just lose. And then it's like, oh, I get to start over. At one point, I just had to walk away, and I just walked away. And then it was like 3 hours later...
Yeah.
And he had just been getting killed over and over again. And that made me feel a little better.
Sort of cathartic.
That was somewhat cathartic. I'm like, good, he's died 1,000 deaths. Now I can get through this.
It's time.
And I know it's a kid, but it's like in your mind, and he looks like a potato with a mouth.
But yeah, it's because that's what he is.
But a lot of the game encourage you to sort of stop and look around. Like, there's a lot of encouragement to sort of explore.
Go
particularly
find
so many things
figments.
To collect. Yeah, but then you get to a level where you're timed and it sort of feels out of place. You were encouraged to sort of explore and see these little bits of the game.
Because, again, like,
they spent a lot of time on just the small corners of this place.
Yeah, exactly.
And then to have one thing where it's like, oh, now it's a rush.
Yeah.
Yeah, the end was like almost like, okay,
We
need an end stage, and we just need to get through this shit.
We need something to be challenging.
Then you finally get to the top. Then there's that annoying little like rail scene, which is fairly easy. And then you get to the butcher or whatever, Oleander's dad.
The meat butcher or whatever his name is, or whatever.
Yeah, the first stage, and like that one wasn't too like it was like okay, John. That was fairly simple. It wasn't enjoyable. It was just whatever.
Just a lot of using shield.
Yeah, you just use the shield like, and then run
shield,
up his arm,
dodge
and,
one.
Yeah, so three hits done, and then you have the stage where the water's rising and you're racing your dad to the top of the tent, and. I'll be honest, I didn't have too much trouble with that, but I know you did, Sean.
Yeah, I got stuck on that bit where you're climbing the bits of flaming fences.
For some reason, I couldn't get
the double jump to work between them.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no problem with the double jump, and then I was able to just kind of float into it. But the first jump, like, to figure out, like, a method for that was, like, took me a while. But I didn't find that too bad. And then there's the last boss, which is not too bad. Whatever.
Yeah, then it's coasting.
Although it was pretty fun when you get like your big psychic form and you get just beat the shit out of him for a bit and then you just run away from him and they just beat the shit out of him again. That was kind of fun. And then, you know, that's it. That's the game.
Well, that was actually a decent part too. Like,
yeah,
that was an okay boss fight.
Yeah. But the stages in between with that fucking meat tent or whatever, that was obviously the rushed what do we do type, like, we got to get this done, because it was very different than any other part of the game.
Yeah, definitely.
And very like, ugh, fuck that shit. I would play that game again, although I don't think I need to.
I think twice is enough.
I think once is enough.
Once twice is enough. Probably
it gets by a lot on, it's got cult following and a lot of nostalgia. If you played through it when it first came out.
See, I did not. As I said,
yeah, a lot of that still held up. Like, a lot of that was still super charming. The whole camp area was charming.
Yeah, no, I really like. I like
the
overworld
two musicians
thing.
in the cabin.
Yeah,
on the drums and the.
I like the stupid psychic bears and psychic
cougars. Yeah, funny stuff.
I thought they were pretty funny.
For the first time, you're attacked by a bear in the woods, and rather than mauling you, he puts his, you know, paw to his temple and like, psychically assaults you.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, like, I like that.
The game has a ton of charm. Like, Richard Horvitz killed it as Raz.
Yeah.
Like, the dialogue was brilliant to listen to. I mean, every bit about that was wonderful. And that's why I can't wait for the second one.
Yeah.
So they have better mechanics.
Hopefully. Although Double Fine has done more games like that. And also, this is a, you know, 13-year-old game.
Wow. Yep.
So, I mean...
It's enough to make you feel old.
Yeah. But I feel old.
No need to feel old. It's just a game.
You're younger than us.
And
you don't get you whenever you're around us, you get to feel young.
I always feel young.
Well, I feel young with my home alone, and there's nobody around to tell me I'm old.
There's no one younger.
I work at a post-secondary, and everybody, like, most of the time is like 18 years old, and they're just all annoying.
So, Russ, did you have a favorite level?
I actually really liked Waterloo World.
Okay, cool.
All things considered, on it.
I liked most of it. I just hated there's the platforming parts that were just it's particularly the one where you're like go into the barn and you have to go up and then climb across the ledge to get under the metal gate and then jump, and then there's the part where you get on your mind ball and then you have to like kind of launch, and I just couldn't get that launch. And every time you would miss, you had to go through all the bullshit again. And it was just like, I was like, come on, like, this is not.
It felt like there was a lot of platforming you could skip with the levitation ball, though.
Yeah, but you couldn't. Not that part in particular, but. Yeah. Some of the other stuff, yeah.
There's a lot of parts of the game where it felt like you could just cheat with that.
Yeah. And that's fine, in my opinion. But yeah, I like that one. It was not my favorite, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, all in all, I'm glad I played the game.
It's a great game.
Yeah, it is. It's.
I think as long as you know what to expect going in, because I think you would have gone into that expecting a platformer. And then with that in mind, that would have been, you know, I think if we were like, oh yeah, it's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
That might have changed the expectations going in a little bit.
With, you know, it's a puzzle game with some infuriating platforming and boss fights.
Yeah.
I mean,
the boss fights were, I think, the weakest part of this entire
thing. I would say half the boss fights.
I think just because
like
most
some of the other boss fights were fine. Like Nine, the one with Nine, that was fine. The big.
But most of those were puzzles too. It was the same thing, except rather than looking for your inventory for the right item to, you know, like shake at the boss and see if it works, you'd go through your list of psychic powers and shake it at the boss and see if that got an effect.
Yeah. That's true. But all in all, I don't know. I'm glad I played the game. I'm not, again, going to play it anytime soon. I wish I had played it when it first came out, which is unfortunate, but, you know, it is what it is.
It was not a commercial success, so.
No.
Not unexpected.
But it's got a cult following, like, big time. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that's it for Psychonauts.
That's it for Psychonauts.
Russ, I think we already decided next game is going to be the Cuphead.
The Cuphead?
I have finished it.
I have finished enough of it.
I still think you should try and like just get, just you got like, you have a whole month and you don't have to like play the game constantly. I found that playing that game sitting in front of like, I get it on a fast bloody hard drive and play it at your computer. It's easier to walk away from. There's no setup. You can just be like done for now. And like I found, I played 99% of that game.
I tried it again on here.
Yeah.
I had nope.
Well,
still nope. I can't do those plane levels for the life of me.
You've done all of them except one.
Yep.
You just gotta get through the one.
I don't know if I can.
I got through King Dice.
Yeah.
It's just it's a battle of attrition. You gotta kind of just roll with it. Anyway, that's a topic for another podcast. So
we'll
I think
there.
With that,
we'll
I think
that for
we're,
the whole Cuphead one.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, look at that! Look at the big brain on Sean.
Hell yeah, that's what
Psychonauts.
Psychonauts. Anyway, yeah. So I don't know. I think that's it for today.
That is
this evening.
So till next
it's
time.
Evening. It's not in the middle of the afternoon. We all have jobs.
Ha, huh, suckers.
But you all wish you could have jobs too.
Jobs are the best.
Yay. Actually, we should just be happy we have jobs.
Yes. Anyways.
Anyway.
Till next time.
Yep. Till next time. Yeah. Bye. See you guys later. Guy, whoever's listening to this.